Blog Talk Radio.
Thank you for the breakthrough.
We thank you, Father, that the believers know that when they pray in faith believing that you will respond immediately. We thank you for your immediate response and for another opportunity, Lord, to minister the word of God. We thank you, Lord God, that your word does not just come in word only, but in a demonstration of spirit and power. We thank you that you are mighty, that you are almighty, that there is no might beyond yours, Father. We thank you, Father, for the grace that you extend to us and your love that you pour out to us freely. We thank you, Father, that you have given us not a spirit of fear, but a spirit of power and of love and of a sound mind. We give you praise for the sound mind, for the power and for the love that is yours that you have given to us, and we freely receive them. Father, we take authority and dominion from our position seated in heavenly places with Christ Jesus over every ungodly, unclean spirit in the name of Jesus. We bind, cage, and chain all such in Jesus' name. We mute, muzzle them, and gag them with the blood of Jesus. We forbid them to have any interfering with this broadcast or with persons who desire to hear it in Jesus' name. We thank you, Father, for the many that will call up tonight for prayer, for deliverance, and with their testimonies. We give you praise for those who have sent in their financial contributions, Lord, in obedience to your word. We ask your blessings upon them and upon those who desire to give in Jesus' name. We thank you, Father, that you stand watch over this broadcast, that your word go not forth void, but it accomplishes in the place whereunto you sent it. We thank you, Father, for the seed going in good ground, bringing forth 30, 60, and sometimes 100-fold return in Jesus' name. We thank you and we give you praise for the harvest. We take authority and dominion over the tares that would hinder the wheat in Jesus' name, and we bind their interference in Jesus' name. We thank you, Lord God, for your word going forth. We thank you, Lord God, for your ministering spirits ministering. We thank you, Lord God, for the deliverance and your purpose for this broadcast coming to full fruition in Jesus' name. Amen.
Well, praise the Lord. You know, sometimes when you have warfare like that, it means that the devil does not want to hear what God has to say. Amen? But the truth is that God is overcoming, and sometimes we all have to push through, and you just don't give up. You just keep on pushing and praying until you get through, because Jesus is God, and he's overcoming the powers of the enemy. But sometimes the powers of the enemy, what it wants to do, it wants you to think that Jesus has no power, but he has all the power in the universe. And so what our subject matter tonight is, we're not going to talk very long. I'm expecting Sherry to call in and give a testimony. She was down here all last week and we were ministering to her. But tonight's subject is Master Illuminist. And what that means is there really is an Illuminati in America and around the world. And the Illuminati, what they are trying to rapidly do, they're trying to get control of the governments of the world and the religions of the world so that they can bring in what they're calling the New World Order. But we know their New World Order is shown in the Bible. Yes, it really is shown in the Bible. And it's shown in the Bible as a very powerful one world system. And this one world system is a system that comes out of the sea. You see the system throughout the Word of God, but the Antichrist spirits are linked to the sea. And we see that it consists of Satan's anointing, giving his authoritative power to his son, who is united with a group of secretive, depraved, cannibalistic men. And it will join the iniquity of the masses and idol worshippers into a world of witchcraft-driven religion. We see that there's a red dragon, and it's setting the world stage as we're speaking right now for Satan's final magical deception, for the Antichrist spirits to arise up out of the sea. And yes, that's where he's going to come from. His spirit is going to come up from out of the sea. And so that's what they're working under, the powers of this spirit. And we are looking for this spirit. But instead of looking for this spirit, we really do need to be looking for the spirit of Jesus. Because, you know, prophetic scriptures, they ride side by side in the Bible. And it shows you side by side in the book of Revelation that Jesus is coming, and that Jesus is coming very, very soon. And at the same time, as we begin to see the signs of the rise of the Antichrist, we are supposed to be looking and seeking for Jesus Christ. And we have to just settle in, submit our lives totally to Jesus, and very, very soon, we're going to, if Jesus comes at the pre-rapture, some people believe that he will come at pre-rapture, I mean pre-tribulation, some believe mid-tribulation, some believe at the end of tribulation, and some believe that he's not coming at all. But the Bible shows that there will be a rapture of the church. And if you want to know more about it, I have a book up on Amazon called The Bridegroom. And this book is about the bridegroom and the bride. And it gives you scripture after scripture that will teach you so that you can expect that you are going to be the bride of Christ. Because if you're saved, you're going to be the bride of Christ. If you're living diligently and looking and watching for Jesus, he's coming for you. So I don't want you to get fearful about the things that we see going on in the world today, because they are very fearful. And particularly for those folks that don't know Jesus. I feel sorry for people that have no hope. But the Bible says that Jesus is our blessed hope. So the Bible shows that this Antichrist spirit is going to come out of the sea, and that he is going to end up being called the God of this world. And, you know, the Bible says that as Christians, we are not of this world, that we're in the world. And if you remember your scriptures over in John, I think it's around 17th verse, Bill will put it up on the chat room for you. The Bible tells us that Jesus prayed in the garden, and he said, God, he says, I'm not asking you to take the believers out of the world. He said, but I'm asking you to protect them from the world. And so Jesus prayed for you while he was alive. And he prayed for the ones that followed him right then in those same scriptures. But he was looking forward the periscope of time, and he prayed for us that Jesus would protect us from the world. And so you have to believe and see from the Word of God that Jesus stands between you and the powers of the world, and he stands between you and the powers of the witches, wizards, of the Antichrist system, of all of the devils, everything in the world. He stands as your protector. He is your protector. And the devil would like for Christians to believe that he can just come in the door anytime he wants to. And it's a lie. And so what you have to do is you have to believe that Jesus is the most powerful spirit in the universe. And when you cry out to his name, what happens is he stands up. And he stands up between you and the forces of Satan. Amen? And so, friends, we have not even gotten into the end times. I think we're sliding into it day by day. But the full forces of the end times have not hit us and the church yet. But it's hitting us daily as we begin to look and watch for the return of Jesus. We get pretty harsh reports of what's going on in our nation and things that are going on in the world and things that are going on in the skies and things that are going on in the weather. And these are all end time signs that we're supposed to see and know that we're in the seasons of the coming of the Lord, and we're not to be in fear. Amen? And so the Bible is just a world stage, and it's revealing a despotic panorama of a future of a new world. And people in this new world will be rigidly controlled by demonic powers and by Big Brother. This world will be a monstrosity of evil, and it will appear to play out the final tragedies of biblical prophecies concerning the extinction of personal and religious freedom. Now, in California, I just read that two men were arrested and they're going into court. What was their terrible crime? They were simply reading the Word of God in public places. Now, if you really want to see how quickly the world is sliding, if you just watch California alone and also New York City, because in these particular states, They're going down the path row like a train going off the side of a mountain into the New World Order. Both mayors are Antichrist leaders. Both mayors do not believe in Jesus Christ. And they are what you call totalitarian despots. They believe in ruling over the people with a strong hand. I just told you two men were arrested for reading the Bible on the streets in California. In New York, you're being harassed constantly when you walk down the streets of New York by the policemen. Also, the mayor is daily putting out new little laws that he wants enforced. Now, a simple law is that he put out about 3 or 4 months ago, was that he forbid Coca-Cola's 16, what do they call that, Sabrina?
16-liter
Cokes to be sold in the city of New York City. Well, see, that takes away your freedom. And so what happens, because he said that, the Constitution didn't say that. There is no law that says that, but this little leader in a state who wants to be a dictator made that law. And daily, he made a law that you have to give all your guns up in New York City. And every day, he's making these laws like he is the law of that state. And then after he says the edict, then what happens is the state legislature quickly comes along and passes a law to back his statement up. So we're falling rapidly into tyranny. Detroit, I understand, is totally broke. And up in Chicago, the Illinois, Chicago, what's happening up there, they've lost total control of the people in that state. That gangsters are running, drugs are on every street. It's tyranny. It's already enforced there. And I heard today that all over the country, that if you live in a condo, that condo people are telling you to turn your guns in. And if you don't turn your guns in, they're going to take over your condo. And so they don't have any laws for all of this. They are making laws on the spot, and they're making these cops that they have hired to enforce the rule of what they call the rule of law. We are rapidly falling, friends, as I speak to you. But we have to keep our eyes gazed on Jesus and know that Jesus has a plan, the devil has a plan. The difference is supposed to be this, 2 Corinthians 4:4-5, the Bible says, "In whom the God of this world hath blinded the minds of them which believe not, lest the light of the glorious gospel of Christ, who is the image of God, should shine unto them. For we preach not of ourselves, but Jesus Christ, the Lord, and ourselves as his, as your servants for Christ's sake." And so the coming of the demagogical system must appeal to the spiritual witches' wishes of the masses and the prophesied anti-Christian leader that will bring in his own mystical universal religion, which is the harlot church called in the Bible the Mystery of Babylon. And you find that over in Revelation 17 and 18, the mystery of Babylon. And so what you have to see is step by step, these things are happening, and they're happening very, very quickly as I speak to you today. And so the mystery of Babylon will consist of the false prophet, which will connect with the man of sin, who is called the Antichrist, and the false spirit, which will be the false unholy spirit. And he's called Apollyon of Babylon, of Babylon in the Bible. And so I'm going to ask you all to be praying, because we didn't have a lot of prayer time before we went up on the air, and there's always powers that are trying to stop the message from going forth. And so be praying. Pray against confusion and pray against breakthroughs, even for seconds at a time, and we'll give God the glory and the praise. And so this system, this mystery of Babylon the Great, the mother of harlots and abominations of the earth, is a satanic religious system. And what it really is a system of all of the religions coming together under one banner. And what the Protestant churches have always taught was that one banner was the Catholic Church. However, it talks about the daughters of the mother, which would be many of your Protestant churches. We're not going to get to heaven through a church system. We're going to get to heaven through the belief that Jesus Christ is God, that he sits at the right hand of God, making intercessions for us. We're going to get to heaven by connection of his spirit coming and living inside of our temple so that we can be overcoming Christians in this hour of time. And so now these spirits that are going to fuel the mystery of Babylon is called Abaddon and Apollyon. And you have to see supernatural spiritual things through spiritual eyes and not through your five senses, or you'll miss the significance of the supernatural organization of the world that's coming into existence at this time. And, of course, the description concludes with a word that over these Christians is an angel of the abyss. And the abyss, of course, is the pit of hell. And this angel is in Hebrew called Abaddon, and in Greek it's called Apollyon. But they are the same spirit. And the name means destroyer. And so, in Proverbs 15:11 and in Job 26:2, the Bible tells us that that it comes out as another word called destruction. In Matthew, it comes out of the Greek, and 2 Thessalonians 2:8 as destroy. And so the Antichrist is not coming to possess a man to build a new world order, as its followers believe. The Antichrist is being trained, raised into the situation of power, world power, for the reason of fighting against Jesus Christ and his creation, which are human beings on the earth, and to war against the world itself, which is a creator of Jesus Christ. So the Antichrist, although they believe very sincerely that they are building a new world order, but they're not. They're building machines, vehicles, supernatural powers for the destruction of the world. That's what they're actually doing. And so the Antichrist, when he's coming, he's going to be inhabited by those two spirits, or those that one spirit with the name Abaddon in Hebrew and Apollyon in Greek. But it means the same spirit. Amen? And so the Bible shows that this is a spirit that rises up from the sea. And he comes up in Revelation 13, chapter 1. And when he comes up, the Bible shows in Revelation 16, 13, and 14 that this power that comes up from the sea is a power that has great power over the demonic world, over the spirits in the demonic world. Now look at this with me just for a moment before I reveal the spirit, the unclean spirits. He has power over the Antichrist. The Bible shows that there'll be another false prophet that will rise up from the land, from the earth. And he's known as the false prophet. And the Antichrist gives his power to the false prophet. The false prophet is just exactly what that says. It's a false religious person that a powerful demon comes into that false prophet that rules through that human vessel, as does the man of sin. The Abaddon and Apollyon spirits are in the man of sin. So, the spiritual parts, the ruling thing inside of those two men, are going to rule over the world. And so, in the book of Revelation, John's vision shows in the last days, demon spirits will be released from the pit, and they will be released on the earth, and they will go forth, and they will deceive the world. Revelation 16:13 and verse 14 says, "And I saw three unclean spirits like frogs come out of the mouth of a dragon, and out of the mouth of a beast, and out of the mouth of a false prophet." This unholy, diabolical trinity is the spiritual demons of the hierarchy that will control the world. And so the dragon, the beast, and the false prophet are the supernatural hierarchy that will control the world. Now, the beings, the false prophet and the man of sin are human beings, but they have no power, because once they avail themselves to be possessed by these three spirits, the unholy trinity is what we call them. Once they avail themselves to be possessed by these spirits, then the spirits take their bodies over. They chain their human spirit. Their human spirit no longer has any authority, power, and they take control of the body, of these two men's bodies. Spirits have to have a body to move in and to work through. And so that's why the world works so hard through occults, and that's why they're working so hard to tear and make the churches fall, because they're trying to possess the bodies of human beings so that they can quickly, the spirits, bring about the fall of the empire, the world, and so that their new world order can come into being. Now, you know, I've been teaching some of this stuff for many years, for probably 25 years, and I really did not believe that I would be alive today to tell you the things that I'm telling you, that God has spared my life many times under attacks from the forces of evil, and God has given me the grace of a long life so that I would be here to be able to tell you a few things that maybe even some of the younger people don't even think of. Sometimes it's good to have older people around that know things, that have lived through things, than just a bunch of young people, because they don't know as much. Amen? So, but let me get back to the sermon. Now, here you've got the unholy trinity, the hordes of evil, unclean spirits that look like frogs, and they come out of the mouth of the dragon, which is the Antichrist spirit. And they come out of the mouth of the beast, and they come out of the mouth of the false prophet. Now, these spirits, these three spirits, that John saw, these hierarchy of spirits that John saw, they saw them producing lying, deceiving, seducing demon spirits. And these things are going to be released by Satan, the beast, and the false prophet. Now, when they come, they're going to come and they will be able to work false miracles. This is why you never run after miracles. If somebody's working miracles, it's good if somebody has the anointing to heal the sick, to cast out devils, and to do miracles, but under the power of the Holy Spirit. But the unholy spirits in the end times are going to be able to perform miracles. Now, if you read your Old Testament, you will see that the devil's people, the fortune tellers, the astrologers, the psychics, the witches, the wizards, they could all do miracles. They could imitate the power of God. And you can see it from the very beginning. You could see pharaohs, magicians and astrologers copying the miracles you can see it over in every place. You can see it in Saul, in his life. You can see it in David's life. You can see it when God let the captives free with Moses. You can see them always able to imitate the powers of God, but God's powers were always more powerful than the powers of the enemy, to the point that God's powers could swallow the powers of the enemy. And when Elijah went up on the mountaintop, and the astrologers, Jezebel's astrologers and magicians, were up there, he challenged them to a spiritual warfare. He said, if God be God, let us follow God. If Satan be God, let us follow him. And Satan's name in the scriptures are called Baal. And so what happened is Elijah told them to go ahead and do their powers, see if their powers could overcome. And while they were chanting, singing, dancing, and cutting themselves, the Bible says, to draw blood, because Satan cannot have any power unless he draws animal blood or human blood, while they were cutting themselves, Elijah was standing there mocking them. And he was saying, ha ha, where's your God? Your power's not working. Ha ha, you did that and that's not working. And he was mocking the powers of the enemy because they did not work. Now get it in your mind, friends. If you're walking in the power of God, the enemy's power is not going to work. And you've got to stop thinking that it can. Because if you think that it can work, it will work. But you see, Elijah boldly stood and said, mocked it. Ha ha, it doesn't work. Where's your God now, he said. And he beat the powers of the enemy. After they did everything that they could do, he said, now, he said, I'm going to demonstrate to you the power of God. And he told the people to dig a trench, a ditch. And he told the people to take 12 stones and put them down into the middle of that ditch. And what he was doing is he tore down the altar of the gods of Jezebel because their power didn't work. And so before he was going to demonstrate the power of God, he had to rebuild the altar of God. So he took 12 stones, which represented the 12 tribes of Israel, and he put them in the center of that ditch. Now, they had to have a sacrifice. God requires a sacrifice. And the sacrifice that God requires is yourself in the New Testament. And in this place, you can look at it as a sacrifice of their self, because what God told Elijah to tell him to do, he said, go get some water and pour it in the ditch. Now, in the ditch, in that land, they had been through a dry spell. All of the trees had withered up and fallen over on their side. The grass had withered. The dust bowls were blowing. There was no water. And the people, the most important thing that they could own or have would have been water. Well, the people were so hungry for God. They were so hungry that they were willing to go get the most precious thing that they had, and it wasn't gold, to offer to God for him to move in their behalf. And it was water. So he said, pour the water in the ditch. And they poured the water in the ditch. Well, you know, God always knows when we're holding back a little for ourselves. He knew it when they tried to hoard the manna, when he put that manna on the ground and they were supposed to pick it up for one day. Well, they were trying to hoard it for the night, but it would just go away and dry. So God, when God gives you something, do it his way. Do it exactly the way he tells you, and then the miracle will work for you too. Amen? So he said, no, go get some more water. And so Elijah continued until he had all of their water in around those rocks. And when he had the water, he just lifted his hands and he asked the fire of God to come and display itself before the nation of Israel so that they would see that God's power is sufficient and more powerful than the power of the demonic leaders and their demons. And the fire of God dropped out of the heavens, came down, licked all of the water up, and melted the stones. God's power is very, very powerful. And you must see that in order to have victory. You must see that his power is always able to protect you. He wants to protect you. He's standing in front of you. He will protect you. Just confess his word. Don't confess the powers of the enemy. Their powers are defeated. Once you ask Jesus to do to come and live in your heart, he becomes the king of your life. Once you ask the Holy Spirit to come into your life, that is the fire of God that comes into your life. Don't trample on the fire of God. Don't pay any attention to what your flesh is saying. Cry out to the Spirit of God to manifest itself when you get under attack. Don't believe your flesh. Don't believe voices. Don't believe the wiles of the devil. The devil is totally defeated. Confess what you know. Confess Jesus Christ is Lord and that he's able to defend his temple. If he's not able to defend his temple, you don't need to follow him. And he's defended my temple for more than 35 years, and my trust is solely in him. And I've seen him do so many wonderful things for me as a follower, but also for people that I've ministered to. And so there's no doubt in my mind who is the chief spirit, the king of spirits, is really Jesus Christ. And his power is sufficient. As he told Paul, he said, Paul, my power is sufficient for you. And if it was sufficient for Paul, I'm telling you it's sufficient for us. But now, those devils that represent that these hordes of demons are going to come into and are already in many people that walk around today. The Bible says in Revelation 6:14, it says, for they are the spirits of devils working miracles which go forth unto the kings of the earth and of the whole world to gather them together of that great day of God Almighty. And so they're gathering together. And the Bible shows that the demons go forth and enter into men and women all over the world to go to the great battle of Armageddon, shown in the book of Revelation. And the three unholy spirits are at the battle of Armageddon to meet the Lord at the great day of God Almighty. And on that great day, their full intention is to destroy the world, because they're destroyers. And then when Jesus comes back for the great day of God Almighty, their plan is to defeat Jesus. Now, you see, the devil works under a misconception that I want to clarify for you today. He works under the misconception that if he has more people than God, he's stronger than God. But what you have to see so clearly is that God, Jesus, and one person, which is you, make a majority. And there's a scripture that says that in Matthew. Brother Bill will look that up. And so God and one person makes a majority. So that means that when you're standing and Jesus is standing with you, it doesn't matter if all of the demons in the world are coming after you, he's able to overcome their power for you. If all of the witches in the world came and sat on my shoulder, I have more authority and more power than they do. That's what you need to see here. And so, going back to Elijah over there, and he has challenged the prophets of Baal. Well, there were 3,000 of them up there, and they were all filled with multitudes of demons. They were Jezebel's high priests that were standing up on that mountain. And so Elijah had challenged their powers, and he said, I'm going to show you that God is more powerful than you are. And so what he did was he let them demonstrate all of their powers, and their powers could not destroy him. And then he stepped into position to show the power of God. And it involved two things. It involved speaking to God's people. And he spoke to God's people, number one. He said, if God be God, let us follow him. He said, if Baal be God, let us follow him. In other words, stop being double-minded. Believe what you know. Stop believing the powers of the demons have powers over your life when you've asked Jesus to fill you with the Holy Spirit, when you've asked him to save your soul. He does it. Stop believing the powers and the words of the devil, because that brings powers of the devil across to you when you believe it. And so here's what he said. He said, if God be God, let him be God. And so the Bible shows us very, 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 very clearly that God was able to use his mouth and his faith to release words of faith over the hearts of the people when he spoke, because he, Elijah, was representing God. And so when he said, if God be God, let's follow him. And so the words, if God be God, let's follow him, the people were still not clearly sure whose power was the greatest, because God's power has not been demonstrated yet. But they took the little mustard seed of hope that God was greater, and they said, I'm going to look and I'm going to see whose power is the greatest. So he had the attention of God's people. And then he looked up to heaven. Well, he gave the directions, of course, to God's people. And as they obeyed his directions, then he was able to set the altar in place of their lives for God to perform miracles for them. So he rebuilt the altar of God for the nation of Israel so that God's anointed could come down upon the altar, and God gave them physical signs that he was more powerful than the demonic forces. Now, here's what happened. The people saw the water lapping up, all the fire lapping all the water up around the stones. They saw the fire drop down from heaven. They saw the rocks melt. They saw, now listen to this, they saw 3,000 of the enemy's representatives die. What does that mean? That means by the time that they saw all of the power of God operate, that they then had faith in God. And when they had faith in God, God defeated the enemy, and the word of the prophet destroyed the enemy. 3,000 of them dropped dead. You see, God's power is still more powerful today than all of those powers of the enemy. Now, friends, here's what the word says. The word of God says, those who entertain the devil's thoughts will eventually act upon them. In Proverbs 23:7, the Bible says, for as a man thinketh in his heart, so is he. And so as you think, you're either going to be like those people up on the mountainside where they thought in their hearts before Elijah came up on the mountain that Jezebel, who was one of the most powerful witches that has ever lived, Jezebel had conquered the nation of Israel. Jezebel had defeated prophets of God and killed them. Obadiah had gone and captured the prophets, the real prophets of God, and hid them in the rock and the caves, and she couldn't find them. And God was sheltering them from her prophets and those demons from finding his real people. They were hidden in the caves. Now, Jezebel was the most powerful witch in the whole universe. And yet, even though she had killed all of those people, and they could have been the lukewarm prophets of that day, they could have been the let's pretend that we belong to Jehovah, just like we have scads of let's pretend we're Christians today. And those were the ones that she was able to overcome and kill. And so Jezebel had conquered the king. She had taken his seat of power. She was ruling over the land. She had in her the most powerful demon in her, and the powers and principalities over the city belonged to her and were using her to conquer the land. She was very, very powerful. And yet, she sent her most powerful spirits and her most powerful priest to meet with God's one man up on the mountaintop because of the fact she figured that she had already killed all of those representatives of God and that she would overcome this man too, that her power was more powerful than his because she had already killed so many men, so-called men of God. That's what she figured. So she sent her best up on the mountaintop. And her best is up on the mountaintop. And one guy and God defeated her best and her most powerful devils up on the mountaintop because he thought in his heart that God was more powerful and he would overcome Jezebel's spirit. That's why he was born. He was standing to do what God had sent him to do. He had it in his heart to be an overcomer. And you have to change your heart and you have to say, I'm going to believe God. I'm going to believe God. I'm going to believe God that he can take care of me no matter what my eyes see, no matter what my ears see, no matter what voice speaks in the supernatural, no matter what I feel in my flesh, Jesus Christ is my God, and he will overcome for me too. You must believe that in your heart, because Matthew 12:34b and 35 says, the thought is father of deed. For out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaketh. A good man out of good treasure of the heart bringeth forth good things. An evil man out of the evil treasure bringeth forth evil things. So what's coming out of your mouth is what's going on in your heart. And your heart must change. Your heart must change. Your words must change. And the only way your heart is going to change, as you come out of darkness, you have to replace the words of darkness that you spoke before you found Jesus with the word coming out of your mouth. You have to speak the word of God. You have to glorify God. You have to know that his word has power and that his word will change things for you. It will change your mind as to what you thought before. As you speak the word of God, it's going to reinforce your mind. It's going to reinforce your faith. It's going to come alive in you. It's going to go deeper through your mind, down through your flesh, down into the very marrow of your bones. It's going to become a part of you because the word of God is alive and it accomplishes that which it is supposed to accomplish. Now, Romans 1:21-28, because that when they knew God, they glorified him not as God. God is God, and it's offensive to God for you to think that any devil is stronger than he is. That's very highly offensive to God. And so you must change your confession. You must change your faith from darkness to light. You must walk in light. And you must say, I'm coming through. There is no devil that's going to stop me. I'm going through. I'm going into that cave. I'm going into the rock that's going to hide me. I'm telling you, devil, you are defeated in my life. I'm overcoming you today, and you can no longer have any power, no force over me. My God is a God that can deliver me. If he can bring the little children out of enslavement to the Pharaoh, make the waters depart, make the fish come right up to the sides of each side of the water and look and see God's people walking on dry land to the other side and coming up on dry land. If he can all of a sudden, when Pharaoh's chariots come after them and go into the middle of that water and let the water collapse and defeat the enemy, he can defeat your enemy, my friend. He can defeat that little witch. He can defeat that little wizard. He can defeat that coven. He can defeat all of the New Agers working and ministering against you. He is a God of power. Accept his power and live. If you continue to live in the power of the enemy, you'll not walk away free. You'll not be able to survive. This is a survival message tonight for a lot of people that have been sitting up on Blog Talk Radio, getting an awful lot of ministry that are walking in defeat. You need to recast this message over and over until it becomes a part of you so that you understand that God is God. Now, the rest of Romans 21 and 28, they glorified him not as God. Glorifying God is saying, God, you can do anything, everything, and above all that I can even think of. And I thank you that you are doing it for me. Praise your name. Glory to God. Get your mind off of the powers of the enemy and unto the glorious power of God. And see the spiritual atmosphere change in your behalf. Amen. And so then Romans 21 through 28 says, they glorified, they knew God, but they glorified him not as God. And then the next thing, neither were they thankful. They were not thankful for what he had done in their life. Be thankful that he's pulled you out of the powers of darkness, out of the jaws of hell, into his very presence, into the presence that all you have to do, friend, is speak the name of Jesus. And Ephesians 1 says he gives you the wisdom and understanding to know that he gives you an anointing above all the powers of the enemy. And Ephesians chapter 2, that you, when you speak that word, when you have that faith, when you're thankful for what he's already done, you are sitting in heavenly places right in the throne of Jesus Christ, him in agreement with you before the throne of the living God. What else could you want? What else could be great? But here's what the word says. They were not thankful, but became vain in their imaginations. In other words, their minds tell them what they think is right instead of what the Bible is telling them the truth. Cast down those imaginations according to 2 Chronicles, I think 10:5. Is it first or second? Well, get it for me because I'm trying to concentrate on the message. And cast down those imaginations in Chronicles. Cast them down. Say, imaginations, thoughts, you're not right. That's not what the Lord says about my faith. The Lord doesn't say that demons can still come through and touch my body. The Lord says, the Bible says that Jesus is standing right in front of me, and you're trying to lie to me through the feelings in my flesh and the words that you're sending to my mind. I bind your words, and I bind the feelings and the symptoms, and you get out in the name of Jesus. I'm not going to receive your vain imaginations, and the foolishness of their hearts were darkened. The foolishness, it's foolish to believe that they have more power than God. After you've received Him, you've tasted the Lord to see if He's good, you've received Him, cast them out, cast them down. Don't receive them. Receive only the Word of God. And the Bible says in verse 28, and we're in Romans 1:21, and even as they did not like to retain God in their knowledge, you see, they knew God. It says at the very first, when they knew God, but they let all this stuff go on in their mind. They received the devil's power was more powerful than God. And they continued to dwell in their own imaginations, and their foolish hearts were darkened. And they did not retain God in their knowledge, and God gave them over to a reprobate mind to do those things which are not convenient. And so, in other words, when your mind gets busy, get your mind on God. Get your praise songs going. Get the Word going. Get your lips confessing who God is. You cannot retain two things in your mind at one time. Get everything going at one time, praising the Lord with your lips, doing everything that I've taught you so far, using the name of Jesus, pleading the blood of Jesus over yourself, commanding the devils to be caged, shutting them up, asking God's angels to come and arrest them. You'll soon be walking in great power. Now, in James chapter 1, verse 15, it says, then when lust hath conceived, it brings forth sin, and sin, when it's finished, brings forth death. So in other words, your mind can send you to hell. Don't listen to the lies of the devil. Don't believe that the devil's people are stronger than God to defend you. Because if you believe that, they will be able to overcome, and they will be able to defend you. Sabrina gave me the scripture, 2 Corinthians 10:5. That's why I don't give out scriptures, because I've got them in my mind, but I don't have the numbers. But anyway, casting down imaginations and every high thing that exalts itself against the knowledge of God, and bringing into captivity every thought. Sabrina, say every thought.
Every thought to the obedience of Christ.
Every
and
thought.
A readiness to revenge all disobedience when your obedience is fulfilled.
Could you hear Sabrina, Dr.
Yes,
Sabrina? Okay. So now, cast down those imaginations that are working in your mind. Now, one thing I've got to tell you. When you've been delivered, the devil, like you see the television, the cameraman is not standing in your room making camera pictures for you. It goes through the airways. The Bible says that the god of the air is the devil. And so what you do is you say, devil, god of the air, I bind you, I cast you down, and I forbid you to make, to send thoughts on the screen of my mind. I forbid you to do it, and I cast you down, and I bind your powers and your equipment and your human spirits that you're using. Everything is bound, caged. Lord, send your warring angels to cast these things into the pit of hell. I send them to your feet. Now, whenever you've disconnected those things, the electronic equipment and the things that they're doing, your power, friends, now listen to this very, very carefully. Did you ask Jesus to come and live in your heart, Sabrina?
Yes, I did.
Talk real loud. Yeah, but talk real loud because it goes clear over the air loud.
So, yes, I did.
Did you ask the Holy Ghost to come in?
Yes, I did.
Is the Father inside of you?
Yes, He is.
So what that means is this. Your defense is inside of you. You don't have to call God from way up in heaven. He's right there inside of you. His power is in you. It's in His mystical church that's interconnected all over the world. And He's sitting on His throne. And He's sitting, ruling the world on His throne. And He's able to rule your world through His power, which is inside of you, and when you speak His word comes out of your mouth, and it's power, because it's the word of God. Did you get that? Did you really understand what I just said about you, and who you are, and that God's word is nigh thee, even in thy mouth? Isn't that the scripture over in Romans? So when you speak God's word, it's the overcoming power to defeat those enemies that are so easily defeating you because He's able to make you believe a lie. Now say, Satan.
Satan.
I am no longer. Going to believe your lies.
Going to believe your lies.
You stop toying around with my heart.
You stop toying around with my heart.
With my mind.
With my mind.
And my spirit.
And my spirit.
I have the spirit of discernment.
I have the spirit of discernment.
And I know.
And I know.
That you.
That you.
Are trying to defeat me.
Are trying to defeat me.
With the thoughts of my mind.
With the thoughts of my mind.
And the words of my mouth.
And the words of my mouth.
And I bind up all of your deceit.
And I bind up all of your deceit.
Your tricks.
Your tricks.
And your mischiefs.
And your mischiefs.
All of your disguises.
All of your disguises.
I bind up all of your words.
I bind up all of your words.
I bind up words coming at me from the heavenlies.
I bind up words coming from me, not of God, from the heavens.
I bind up words coming at me from the earth.
I bind up words coming at me, not of God.
Well, they know that, Sabrina. They know that because we're talking to the devil now, period, okay? I bind up words that are speaking good words to me. You can say not of God if you want to.
I bind up words speaking to me, not of God.
Okay. I will not believe them.
I will not believe them.
I will not receive them.
I will not receive them.
I command them to get out of my heart.
I command them to get out of my heart.
And I receive.
And I receive
the pathway to God.
The pathway to God.
The words of God.
The words of God.
From His Bible.
From His Bible.
I receive.
I receive.
Matthew 7:13.
Matthew 7:13.
Enter ye in at the straight gate.
Enter ye in at the straight gate.
For wide is the gate.
For wide is the gate.
And broad is the way.
And broad is the way.
That leadeth to destruction.
That leadeth to destruction.
And many there.
And many there.
Which go in thereat.
Which go in thereat.
I'm coming through the straight gate.
I'm coming through the straight gate.
I'm coming through the power of God.
I'm coming through the power of God.
The power of God is within me.
The power of God is within me.
The power of God.
The power of God.
Is in my mouth.
Is in my mouth.
And the power of God.
And the power of God.
Means.
Means.
That I will no longer.
That I will no longer.
Receive.
Receive.
The deceptions.
The deceptions.
The words.
The words.
The wiles.
The wiles.
Of the enemy serpent.
Of the enemy serpent.
According to Corinthians 11:3.
According to Corinthians 11:3.
But I fear lest by any means.
But I fear lest by any means.
As the serpent beguiled Eve.
As the serpent beguiled Eve.
Through his subtlety.
Through his subtlety.
Shall, so your minds.
So your minds.
Shall be corrupted.
Shall be corrupted.
From the simplicity in
Christ. From
the
simplicity that is in Christ.
Now what this is it means that he comes, he beguiles. How did he beguile? He beguiled Eve through her mind. By telling her a lie. And he beguiled her through the mind because she received the lie into her mind. He beguiled her in the mind because she received it into her flesh and she experienced disobedience from God. He deceived her because then, because she had fallen, she went and tempted her husband. She tempted her husband with words, the same way that she fell. He felt. He listened to his wife's evil words. And when he acted on her words, he ate and he fell. And he was disobedient from God or to God. So what it all means is this. It means don't listen to the devil. Turn all of those evil things that are coming into your mind away. Don't listen to them. Don't believe them. Don't receive them. Because God wants to protect you. And in 1 Peter 5:8-9, the Bible says, be sober. Be vigilant. Because your adversary, which is the devil, as a roaring lion, walketh about, seeing whom he may devour. Now, just because you're born again doesn't mean that the devil isn't going to try to throw the ball across your plate. What it means is you stop swinging at his ball. You say, I'm not playing the game with you anymore. Get out of here in Jesus' name. And you replace what he said with the word of God inside of your mind. And you resist by not reacting on the word. He says, you got a headache? You say, liar, get out in the name of Jesus. By his stripes I'm healed. He is the God that healeth thee. And you find scriptures. You go to the Bible physically and look them up and get your mind busy from the things that the devil's trying to implant in it. And you'll start turning it around, friends. You'll start turning it around if you do it the way I'm telling you to do it. Now, the second part of that verse is verse 9, 1 Peter 5:9. Whom resist steadfast in the faith? You've got to get your faith up. You've got to stop having faith in the devil's wiles, in his temptations, in his words, in the powers of his people. You got to cast them down from your mind, and you've got to get faith in who God is, knowing that the same afflictions are accomplished in you, brethren, that are in the world. In other words, everything that he's doing to you, he's doing the same thing to the people in the world. The only difference is they're not in God's schemes and God's plans, and they cannot defend themselves. You can defend yourselves. You can stop receiving every evil thought, every oppression, every vision, every feeling, everything that the devil did in the past. Stand against it with the word of God. Proverbs 4:14 through 16 says, enter not into the path of the wicked, and go not in the way of the evil. Avoid it, pass not by it, turn from it, and pass away. For they sheep, for they sleep not, except they have done mischief, and their sleep is taken away, unless they cause some to fall. Now, here's the friends, the point, friends. The Bible says that my sheep hear my voice, and a stranger they will not follow. And you might say, well, you know, Sister Pat, I don't hear the voice of God yet. You do hear the voice of God when you ask the Holy Ghost to come in. You may not be able to supernaturally discern it yet, but the voice of God is that feeling, don't go there, don't say that, don't receive that, don't eat that, don't go to that church. You have a feeling not to do it. We call that intuition. And God will work with that before you can hear him spiritually. He's not going to speak to you spiritually until you get rid of the voices of the devils that you listen to in your mind. And you get rid of those by binding their voices up, every spiritual voice up. Now, he also speaks to you in your thoughts through the word of God. The thoughts that you have in your mind will be usually spoken to you, the word of God that you have dwelt in, and they're in your heart. And so you avoid what you know, and you start down the pathway of heaven, the pathway that is that narrow path that few follow in. And you, it says, don't enter the pathway of the wicked and evil way of the men. If you had a witch, if you had a fortune teller, if you smoked cigarettes, if you took drugs, if you lied, whatever it is, don't do that anymore is what that means. Proverbs 4, and we're now in verse 15, avoid it, pass not by it, turn away from it, pass away. Let it get away from you, and you go out of your way to get rid of it. 4, now here's what happens. They cannot sleep. Bishop Kanko told us when we first met him that when he was practicing witchcraft, the demons would only let him sleep 15 minutes at a time, and they would wake him up and send him on errands to do their wicked things to people that they had designed those wicked things to do. And so here's the reason why that was happening to him. For they, the demons people, sleep not, except they have done mischief. In other words, they work at nighttime, and they can't sleep unless they come out and accomplish the plans for your life that the devil has for them to accomplish. They cannot sleep. And then the rest of that says, and their sleep is taken away by the devil unless they cause some to fall. Now, you don't want to fall. And you cannot afford to let them continue to harass you with your thoughts. Change your thoughts. Now say with me, Dr. Sabrina, say, I forbid
every thought
that comes into my mind.
That comes into my mind.
Every feeling.
every feeling
that comes into my mind,
that comes into my mind,
and my flesh,
and my flesh,
that is not put there by my God,
that is not put there by my God,
I bind them up right now.
I bind them up right now.
I bind any human being.
I bind any human being
at any level of witchcraft.
At any level of witchcraft.
Right now.
Right now.
I disconnect them totally from me.
I disconnect them totally from me.
I forbid them.
I forbid them.
From attacking my mind.
From attacking my mind.
My flesh.
My flesh.
My spirit.
My spirit.
My faith.
My faith.
My house.
My house.
My home.
My home and my emotions.
My things.
My things.
Everything, my phone, my television.
Everything, my phone and television and all things that pertain to me.
And I break all of their electronic connections.
And I break all of their electronic and psychic connections.
I break their computers.
I break their computers.
I send warring angels to break their computers.
I send warring angels to break their computers.
And in the name of Jesus.
And in the name of Jesus.
I ask you, Father.
I ask you, Father.
That you send warring angels to me.
That you send warring angels
in
to me,
the name of Jesus.
In the name of Jesus.
To war for me.
To war for me.
Let me just feel.
Let me just feel.
The power of God.
The power of God.
Falling upon me.
Falling upon me.
The atmosphere of the Holy Ghost.
The atmosphere of the Holy Ghost.
Surrounding me right now.
Surrounding me right now.
Let me see.
Let me see.
The glory of God.
The glory of God.
I give you praise.
I give you praise.
I give you praise.
I give you praise.
And from this day forward.
And from this day forward.
Help me to do Matthew 26:41.
Help me to do Matthew 26:41.
Watch and pray.
Watch and pray.
That ye enter not.
That I enter not.
Into temptation.
Into temptation.
The spirit is willing.
The spirit is willing.
But the flesh is weak.
But the flesh is weak.
I ask you, Father.
I ask you, Father.
To teach me.
To teach me.
How my spirit.
How my spirit.
Should rise up.
Should rise up.
And take dominion.
And take dominion.
Over my flesh.
Over my flesh.
My spirit.
My spirit.
To take dominion.
To take dominion.
Over every evil thing.
Over every evil thing.
That is attacking.
That is attacking.
And that my spirit.
And that my spirit.
Is joined to the spirit of the living God.
Is joined to the spirit of the living God.
And is able to come over all of my flesh's weaknesses.
And is able to overcome all of the weakness of my flesh.
And the weaknesses of the devil.
And the weaknesses of the devil.
In Jesus' name.
In Jesus' name.
And I give you glory.
And I give you glory.
Keep me in your word, God.
Keep me in your word, God.
Keep me in your authority of the word.
Keep me in your authority of the word.
Let me not stray from the word.
Let me not stray from the word.
According to Luke 8:13.
According to Luke 8:13.
Let me know.
Let me know.
When to pray.
When to pray.
P-R-E-Y.
Oh, when the prey.
Of the enemy.
Of the enemy.
Is attacking me.
Is attacking me.
That it's not the way I feel.
That it's not the way I feel.
It's not the what they're doing.
It's not what they're doing.
It's the devil.
It's the devil.
Lies.
Lies.
Let me know.
Let me know.
That they are on the rocks.
They are on the rocks.
Which they hear and receive the words
from my mouth
and my words are
that they hear
the word of joy
coming out of my mouth.
Because the joy of the Lord is my strength.
Is my strength.
And that they have no roots.
And that they have no roots.
That all of the roots.
That they have ever placed inside of me.
They cannot stand.
They cannot stand.
They cannot regrow.
They cannot regrow.
Because I set them on fire.
Because I set them on fire.
With a blaze of the Holy Ghost.
With the blaze of the Holy Ghost.
And I refuse.
And I refuse.
To fall into temptation.
To fall into temptation.
And according to 2 Corinthians 10:5.
And according to 2 Corinthians 10:5.
I cast down.
I cast down.
All.
All.
Every.
Every.
Everything.
Everything.
That has been in my mind in the past.
That has been in my mind in the past.
And I wash my mind with the blood of Jesus.
And I wash my mind with the blood
I
of Jesus.
I ask that you wash their memories out of my mind.
I ask that you wash their memories out of my mind.
I tear down their strongholds over my mind.
I tear down their strongholds over my mind.
You have no power.
You have no power.
I command.
I command.
All of your roots.
All of your roots.
All of your tentacles.
All of your tentacles.
All of your snares and chains.
All of your snares and chains and
your garlands.
Your garlands.
Everything.
Everything.
That you have ever attached to my mind.
That you have ever attached to my mind.
I break them.
I break them.
I command you.
I command you.
To loose yourself from my mind.
To loose yourself from my
I
mind.
I cast down these imaginations.
I cast down these
I
imaginations.
I burn them with the fire of the Holy Ghost.
I burn them with the fire of the Holy Ghost.
And just as the fire of the Holy Ghost.
And just as the fire of the Holy Ghost.
Burn those rocks.
Burn those rocks.
Over there in front of the doubters and unbelievers.
Over there in front of the doubters and unbelievers.
In front of Jezebel's strongest powers.
In front of Jezebel's strongest powers.
I burn you.
I burn you.
I burn all of the graven images.
I burn all of the graven images.
Of their gods.
Of their gods.
In my mind.
In my mind.
I burn them with the fire of the Holy Ghost.
I burn them with the fire of the Holy Ghost.
You cannot snare me any longer.
You cannot snare me any longer.
Because it's an abomination to God.
Because it's an abomination to God.
All of the graven images.
All of the graven images.
In my house.
In my house.
Must burn.
Must burn.
All of the demons.
All of the demons.
In my house.
In my house.
Are in the fire of hell.
And are in the fire of hell.
Burning.
Burning.
By the fire of the Holy Ghost.
By the fire of the Holy Ghost.
And you can never come back.
And you can never come back.
Now I want you to take deep breaths and cough those out. And at the same time, the Holy Spirit of God is erasing your mind. And all of the Word of God that you have placed in your mind. To spring up and become life in your mind right now. Go ahead and cough them out. From your mind down all the way down into your stomach. All of them leave. They're burning. They're burning. They're burning. Now take a deep breath of the Holy Spirit. A deep breath and let Him give you your prayer language as He baptizes you with the Holy Spirit. That's right. Keep going. Keep going. Keep going. Speak with your new language. Speak. He'll fill your mouth. He'll fill your mouth. He'll fill your mouth. In Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. And have no fellowship with evil. No fellowship, according to Ephesians 4:26-27. Sin not. Neither give no place to the devil, and have no fellowship with those who promote evil. And glory to God. God is great and mighty. I know you got to be feeling it. I know that He loves you. And I know you got to be feeling the Holy Spirit right now surrounding you. Just start praising Him. Praise the Holy Spirit. Praise the Holy Spirit. Praise the Holy Spirit with all of your work. Praise Him, praise Him, praise Him, praise Him. Hallelujah. Jesus is Lord. And Jesus is Lord of your life. Say, Jesus, you are Lord.
Jesus, you are Lord.
And I believe.
And I believe.
that Jesus Christ, came in the flesh, died on the cross, resurrected from the dead, ascended into heaven, and is seated at the right hand of God. And today, my faith explodes. With every scripture, that I have ever received, put it in my mind. Wash my mind with the blood of the Lamb. Because you said. We overcame. With the blood of the Lamb. And. The word of our testimony. I speak the testimony. Of the word of the Lamb. That you are God of my life. And I will never turn back. That I am saved. That I am filled with the Holy Ghost. That I have the word of God in my mind. In my body. In my soul. Overflowing. With power. And His might. And we give you praise, God. And we give you glory, God. For you are truly. The great I am. Worthy to be praised. Hallelujah. Is there anything going on up on the chat room, Dr. Sabrina? Put the telephone number up. And I want to put our telephone number up for you. 805-292-0300. And you can put your prayer request up. And, yes, we've got some calls that we've got to get to. Brother Marshall, we've got someone calling from Trinidad, and we've got Sherry on the phone, and she wants to give testimony tonight. And so let's take the Trinidad call first. Because it's, and we're going to take this international call first. Ooh, I knocked him off the air. Okay, let's take the Trinidad call, and then we'll get to Sherry. Marshall, are you there?
I'm here.
832 Trinidad, you're on the phone.
Yes.
I'm on.
Okay. Speak, you're on the phone.
Okay, I was on, I think it was Friday, and the lady prayed for me, and I did get a relief. I slept very good that night, but then the next day I started to have some more problems again.
Okay, what I'm going to do is, do you have his telephone? I'm going to have Dr. Sabrina to call you on the phone. We got a whole bunch of phone calls tonight, and we've got a live testimony. And so Dr. Sabrina is going to, you just type this number into this phone, or... Okay, we'll be calling you back, okay?
Okay.
And you hang on and listen.
Okay.
Okay, bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
Hang on.
Yes, I will.
Okay.
Just take me out of the pit. I send warring angels to break.
Hello. Sherry.
Hi.
How are you?
I'm a little better. That was good. Good start today. That was pretty good. Thank you. God bless you.
That's good. Well, you have a testimony you want to tell.
Yeah, I was trying to think of which part I should talk about because, part of it we had talked about on Wednesday night. But I just wanted to say for the listeners that are on, Friday night's call was exceptionally good for the next part of some of the deliverance. And so I worked on that while Pat was talking on the call with the Lord. And then Pat had called me back on Saturday, and I received the Holy Spirit. It was really powerful. And a lot of the memories, voices, that kind of stuff really went down to almost nothing. And it was really nice to have that break.
But Sherry, you came to Jacksonville. They don't understand that you're talking, that you came to Jacksonville, and tell them that part.
Yeah, well, I'll start from the beginning. I just thought that it was just the regular listeners that were on. So, yeah, I was in Jacksonville for approximately 7 or 8 days, and I had the awesome opportunity of both Sabrina and you ministering to me. And I'm really grateful for, she has a wonderful church, everyone, if you get a chance to go to her church. The praise music is really incredible. And I believe that the Lord worked with her church mightily, and they all did prayer for me and fasted during the week. And I was extremely grateful for that also.
No, you had so, Dr. Sabrina. You met Dr. Sabrina. She met Dr. Sabrina.
Yes. I met Dr. Sabrina. That was awesome. Yeah. The only person I didn't get to see in person was Marshall.
Well, so. Marshall was up in Pennsylvania, but he's been praying for you.
Oh, thank you, Marshall. That's awesome. Thank you.
Lord
thank
bless you.
So you received a lot of ministry that Sunday afternoon, and then the next day, and the rest of the time, you received ministry from myself, from people. You received, Jean contacted you and prayed with you. Julie was with me when we prayed with you one evening. Sabrina's been fasting and praying for you. And was there Bill? Bill and his wife have been praying for you all week.
AJ and Shelly.
Very good.
And Bonnie. I kept getting Sherry and Shelly's name mixed up, but they forgave for that, right?
It's hard. Oh, yeah. Yeah. She's
but,
just so glad that you got it right today.
During these times, you got a lot of deliverance. You went through a lot to get deliverance. And you were talking about the Friday night service.
Yes.
Which that was the service that you got a breakthrough. And you got a tremendous breakthrough because God preached directly to you that night. And he gave you the answers concerning the circles and the triangles. So you pick it up there.
Okay, so as she was ministering Friday night, I was working with the Lord on really how to go about it and what to ask for. And I woke up, I slept pretty good Friday night, which is pretty unusual for me, so it was really nice to get a good night's sleep. And then I woke up on Saturday, and I felt better, but I felt stuff trying to come back in, so I was just trying to bind and loose it. And then Pat called. We probably spent another 2 or 3 hours on the phone. I think it was like 2.5 hours. And Pat was given a lot more information on what else to ask to have removed. And basically, you know, anything, oath or anything like that with, you know, Satan's kingdom are broken, and the Lord came in and ministered mightily with Pat's anointing, and I felt the Lord come in to my heart, and I felt the Holy Spirit, the holy fire come in, and Jesus is Lord of my life, and I'm not turning back, and I know that it's going to be him that heals me, and he is healing me, and by his stripes I am healed. Yeah, yeah.
Well,
anybody that's on the call that needs deliverance work, you know, depending upon, you know, what you need, it's extremely valuable to be able to be with them in person. It's always nice to put a face to a name, but I feel like that we're family and that we're sisters, and I feel really close to them now. And it's easier for them to minister when they can see someone in person, instead of just, you know, over the phone. And so if you have, you know, some deliverance that you need to have done, I would really recommend going there in person. They're really incredible. And, yeah, I was just extremely grateful.
This is Dr. Sabrina. Good evening, everyone. While our sister was here, the Lord, several persons ministered to her, and the church, the body here, stood in prayer and fasting, believing for her deliverance. But the most outstanding thing was that she finally figured out that she had to trust Jesus. It wasn't the list of demons that she had written down, or all the information that she thought she had obtained from Blog Talk on who demons were and what their names were and all of those things. What was important was that she had to learn to trust Jesus Christ herself. And that's the crux of what Pastor's trying to convey to everyone this evening. One, you have to trust Jesus Christ. And two, you actually have to believe the word. The word must be mixed with faith in order for you to receive what you need from God. If you choose not to mix any faith with it, you won't get any response. It is impossible to please God unless you use your faith. How do you use your faith? One way to do it is to open your mouth and release the scriptures. Say them out loud. That's one way to operate in faith. One way is trusting Jesus in your heart. One way to do it is turning away from what you did before and doing it the new way. Romans 12, 1 and 2 says that we have to be renewed in the spirit of our mind. That means what was in our mind before, we can't continue to hold on to. We have to let it go and pick up God's way of doing things. Seek ye first the kingdom of God and his way of doing things. His way of doing things, not your old way, his way. So what she learned was that she couldn't just sit there and just say, this demon come out, this demon come out. She had to actually trust Jesus. And this is important for every believer to know. Amen?
Amen.
Now, I would like for Sherry.
You did it too.
Yeah, but you touched me. If you hadn't, that wouldn't have happened.
Yeah.
Sherry, I want you to continue to trust the Lord. Every day, tell him how much you trust him. Continue to trust him. In Job, it says, though he slay me, yet will I trust him. And that means that though negative things are coming into my life, I see them attacking my life, I'm still going to trust Jesus. So I want you to continually, every day, trust the Lord. It was a joy and a privilege to minister to you while you were here. I'm so glad that you came. And I'm so glad that you were able to take away blessings with you. Continue. join you in those blessings and continue to trust the Lord. Amen?
Amen. Brother Marshall, do you have something to say to Sherry?
Well, I really like Galatians 2:20. I really, 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 really think that's the gospel in application in so many ways.
Oh, yeah.
We have to remain dead to sin, which is all kinds of stuff. But, you know, as you read the word and you find out what he says is the right way of doing it, and you find out the way I was doing it is the wrong way, I have to, like Dr. Zabrina was saying, renew my mind. So, you know, if I used to carry grudges, I can't do that anymore. I have to forgive everybody, including myself, which is very important. For I am crucified with Christ. I'm dead to selfishness, dead to taking anxious thought for tomorrow, and all those things. For I am crucified with Christ. Nevertheless, I live, yet not I, but Christ liveth in me. And the life which I now live in the flesh, I live by the faith of what? The Son of God, who loved me and gave himself for me. I don't live by my faith per se. I live by his faith that he's given me. It's a gift, you know, and trusting in him is, well, wait a minute now. If Jesus is God the Word who came in the flesh, and he knew without the shedding of blood there's no removal of sin, he knew everybody had sin because Adam and Eve had fallen and that those demons flooded into the human race. If he knew that if he didn't shed his blood, we wouldn't have a chance. So he chose to lay down his life, his blood, his soul, so to give us his life, to give us his faith in his blood. And that is what is so effective, is that he loves you and he loves me, even me. He loves you. Of course, it's easy for me to see that he loves you. But, you know, a lot of us, we have a problem with loving ourselves. I don't know about you, but anyway, but it's amazing that he loved me that much, and it's his faith in his blood. So that's Galatians 2:20, I think, is a very nice little nugget. And I think what Dr. Zabrina said about mixing it with faith, that the good news will profit when we mix it with faith, like it says in the beginning of Hebrews chapter 4, I think it's verse 2. So how did Moses do it? He was the most humble man who ever lived, right? And he mixed his faith by putting the blood on the lintel and post. So lest he that destroyed the firstborn should touch them, he had to do what God told him to do. So he had to be obedient to the faith. And it says that in the beginning of the book of Romans, the end of the book of Romans, in Hebrews 5:9, it's about obedience to the faith. And it's Jesus's faith. So that's, for me, it's like, oh, I just have to do what he tells me to do, and he'll take care of the rest. So, I mean, it sounds sort of simple, but it is. Yeah, and I'm still learning, okay? So I love Galatians 2:20. That's my little 2 cents for tonight.
Thank you, brother. And you recast the show when you get off the air and let us hear from you Friday night.
Okay.
And stay close in touch. And you're an overcomer. And that
you
shall overcome. Thank you for calling in, Sherry.
Thank you.
God bless you.
God bless you, too.
Amen. Well, that's the way you overcome, is by the blood of the Lamb and the word of your testimony. And she's going to find that that's going to be just like a spiritual blood transfusion for her and her faith. That she came up and that she gave a positive confession of faith concerning Jesus Christ. And she's still fighting now. Her and Nicole both, when they get delivered up on the air, that means that you pray for these people all week. Keep you a prayer. Dr. Sabrina keeps a prayer list of everyone that comes up, and she prays for them in her prayer time. And we're asking for prayer because they've got a little bit further to go. I mean, they've got to learn a lot real quick so that they can really walk in grace and peace. 832, you're on the air.
Yes. I have a situation where I have, like, memory failure. And I have all manner of.
Loud into the phone.
Say again.
talk right into
you
that.
Hear me? Yes, I have a problem with memory failure, and I have a noise in my head since around 1998 that's not going away. It's a very difficult thing to explain because it sounds like some kind of a twilight machinery inside my head. Apart from so many other attacks, but this is one that's constantly 24/7. I just have to sometimes block it out so I don't just
lose
focus.
Hello, let's let the Lord block it out. I want you to say,
you
Lord
me?
Jesus. Say, Lord Jesus.
Lord Jesus.
I ask you to come.
I ask you to come.
Live in my heart.
Live in my heart.
Be my personal Savior.
Be my personal Savior.
And forgive me from all of my sins.
And forgive me from all of my sins.
And Lord Jesus, I forgive myself.
Lord Jesus, I forgive myself.
Now, Lord, I go to church 3 times a week.
Lord, I go to church 3 times a week.
And I do everything that I think you want me to do.
And I do everything I think you want me to do.
But tonight. I know that I cannot be more faithful than you.
I know I cannot be more faithful than you.
I'm asking you to deliver me.
I'm asking you to deliver me.
From the noises in my head.
From the noise in my head.
I'm asking you to deliver me of every devil.
I'm asking you to deliver me from every devil.
That has ever come.
That has ever come.
Into my heart.
Into my heart.
Into my brain.
Into my brain.
Into my body.
Into my body.
Into my sexual organs.
Into my sexual organs.
And I bind every one of them up.
And I bind every one of them up.
And I command them.
And I command them.
Because I know Jesus Christ.
Because I know Jesus Christ.
And he loves me.
And he loves me.
I command you.
I command you.
Every devil.
Every devil.
To be bound.
To be bound.
And you come out of me.
And you come out of me.
And go into a cage.
And go into a cage.
Right now.
Right now.
Instantly.
Instantly.
I cut every garland.
I cut every garland.
Every soul tie.
Every soul tie.
Every family spirit.
Every family spirit.
All witchcraft powers.
All witchcraft powers.
All blood sacrifices.
All blood sacrifices.
Made for my soul.
Made for my soul.
And I cancel all satanic dedications.
And I cancel all satanic dedication.
And you all have to go into the cage instantly.
And you all have to go into the cage instantly.
You have no authority.
You have no authority.
No power.
No power.
Over me.
Over me.
I command all of the spirits in my house.
I command all the spirits in my house.
Anybody live in your house that is not a Christian?
No, I live in an apartment. I live alone.
Okay. I bind every spirit and command it to go into a cage.
Bind every spirit and I command it to go into a cage.
I cover my house with the blood of Jesus.
I cover my house with the blood of Jesus.
I ask you, God, that you put a seal.
I ask you, God, that you put a seal.
Of the Holy Spirit.
Of the Holy Spirit.
On my doors.
On my doors.
My windows.
My windows.
And that you block out every devil.
And that you block out every devil.
From entering in this house.
From entering in this house.
And Lord Jesus.
Lord Jesus.
I forgive my mother.
I forgive my mother.
My father.
My father.
My relatives.
My relatives.
And everyone that has ever rejected me.
And everyone that has ever rejected me.
And I command the spirit of unforgiveness.
And I command the spirit of unforgiveness.
And bitterness.
And bitterness.
To be broken over my life.
To be broken over my life.
And I command those spirits.
I command those spirits.
With a spirit of torment.
With a spirit of torment.
To leave me.
To leave me.
The Bible says.
The Bible says.
That fear has torment.
That fear has torment.
And I bind the spirit of fear.
And I bind the spirit of fear.
And I command it also to get into the cage.
I command it also to get into the cage.
Now, Satan, you leave now.
Now, Satan, you leave now.
Everything I named.
Everything I named.
Everything I haven't named.
Everything I haven't named.
Get out.
Get out.
Now take a deep cough and cough them all into that cage right now. Come out. Obey the name of Jesus. Jesus is Lord. He's Lord over you. We bind the powers and principalities of your house. We bind the gods of the air in that cage. We bind the underneath gods of the ground. Every spirit is bound. Satan, we bind you. You're the strong man. And you will come out. All false religious spirits, Kundalini, you come out. All witchcraft religions coming down his mother's line, you come out. All dedication, you come out. You have no authority. You have no authority. Every image in his mind. Every sexual curse come out in the name of Jesus. Every devil can rob, kill, and destroy come out. Spirit of prayer, suicide, you come out. The people that are listening to this, you will be getting deliverance. He's getting deliverance. Just call. Self-rejection, you come out. Self-hate, you come out. All spirits of hate, you come out. Everything that's exalted itself above God, you come out. All the water spirits bound, not Asmodeus, come out. Abaddon, Apollyon, Beelzebub. You come out. Come out. Every tormenting thing command his organ. Come out. All the curses, hexes, spells, dedications over his sexual life, you come out. You have no authority. All his sexual identities, you come out. What'd you say?
Every familiar spirit and wizard.
All wizards and familiar spirits come out in the name of Jesus. The spirits that come from his relatives that have his name in a flesh pot, I bind you up.
In the name
I command that that flesh pot no longer has any power.
In Jesus' name.
Set him free from all of the anchors, all of the the blue dots come out in the name of Jesus. Nothing can stay. Everything. Everything. The hooks. All of the fish spirits that were dedicated and sacrificed for this cause. All of the animals that were sacrificed. All of the human beings that were sacrificed for his soul. All that blood is broken. And he is now washed in the blood of the Lamb. Say, I'm drinking the blood of Jesus.
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 I'm drinking
the blood of Jesus.
I'm drinking the blood of Jesus. I'm drinking the blood of Jesus.
That's it. I'm drinking the blood of Jesus. It's in my mind. It's in my body. It's all over me.
It's in my mind. It's my body. It's all over.
And every hidden spirit has to release itself and leave.
Every hidden spirit has to release itself and leave.
Now take a deep cough and cough it out. Name Jesus. Blood of Jesus separates flesh, mind, and spirit. They cannot stay in the vessel. Everyone. All of the powers and principalities, rulers of darkness, evil spirits, everything that has a name, come out. The blood is excluded. What I want you to do is I want you to take a deep breath and say, Holy Ghost. Holy Ghost, Holy Spirit,
Holy Ghost, Holy Spirit,
I'm taking a deep breath and you're coming in. Deep breath.
Holy Spirit.
That's right, another deep breath. Holy Spirit in all those empty
places. Holy Spirit.
Fire.
Come in.
With fire.
Holy Spirit, come in.
Now, all of the hidden spirits in this body, you got to be burned out with the fire of the Holy Ghost. Come out. You'll burn like those rocks up on those mountains. Come out. You're on fire. You cannot stay. Get out. Get out. Get out. All. Everything. Leave. Right now. Now, take a deep cough and cough them all out. The Holy Spirit's burning up. There's nothing going to stay.
In Jesus' name.
Nothing. Nothing. Nothing is going to stay. Blood is again. The blood. The blood of Jesus is against the devil. The blood is working for our brother right now, inside his head, inside his mind, inside his spirit, inside his flesh, in his sexual organs, all over him. And you can no longer stay. That's for help, and the Lord is with him. Now, what I want you to do is say, Lord, I give you all frustrations.
Lord, I give you all frustrations.
Bitterness.
Internet.
Anger, temper.
Anger, temper.
And I ask you right now to deliver me.
And I ask you right now to deliver me.
From all insecurity.
From all insecurity.
All poverty.
All poverty.
All stopping from my inheritance.
Injustices.
All stopping from my inheritance. Injustices.
Loneliness.
A loneliness.
Fearfulness.
I didn't get that.
Nightmares and dreams.
Nightmares and dreams.
Negative thinking.
Negative thinking.
Revenge seeking.
Revenge seeking.
tolerance.
Intolerance.
Every ungodly thing.
Every ungodly thing.
That has come to take my mind. Deliver me now. They're coming out. Come out.
Deliver
come
me
out.
Now.
Come
deliver
out.
Me now. Deliver me
all
now.
All of them.
Deliver me now.
All of them. Every injustice. All separation from God's body.
All separation from God's grace.
Now take a deep breath. Take a deep breath and cough them out. Love this man. God's grace. This man. Baby. Instantly, immediately, now. Now say, Lord Jesus, fill me with your Holy Ghost.
Lord Jesus, fill me with your Holy Ghost.
Take a deep breath.
Lord Jesus, fill me with your Holy Ghost.
Now raise your hands and praise Him. Praise Him.
Lord, I praise you. Lord, I praise you. Praise you, Lord.
Heal.
I praise you for everything.
Heal. Give him his prayer line so he can use it in defense. Give him his prayer meeting. Give Shelly her prayer meeting in the name of Jesus. And everyone that's looking for your prayer language, lift your hands and receive. Just open your mouth and pray. Let him pray.
Praise you, Lord.
Hallelujah.
Praise you, Lord.
Praise you, Lord.
Give you honor.
Brother Marshall's going to give you a scripture, and we've got 34 minutes with one, two, about three calls, Brother Marshall. So,
Brother, before Brother Marshall comes, I want you to remember that the Lord himself is your recompense. He will repay you for all the things that have been taken from you and every injustice that you have suffered.
And he gives you his love.
Amen.
Go ahead, Brother Marshall.
Yes, Brother. I just wanted to encourage you to encourage the Lord to be with you, okay? I mean, he is. He said he'll never leave you nor forsake you. But it says in Psalm 22:3, but thou art holy, O thou that inhabits the praises of Israel. That's Psalm 22:3. And Psalm 34, the first couple of verses, I will bless the Lord at all times. His praise shall continually be in my mouth. Help us all, Lord. My soul shall make her boast in the Lord. The humble shall hear thereof and be glad. O magnify the Lord with me. Let us exalt his name together. So if we're praising him, there's not a lot of room for the enemy. And guess what? It does say that he gives the Holy Ghost. If we ask for it over in Luke 11:13, how much more will your Heavenly Father give the Holy Spirit to them that ask him? And Jesus came to baptize us with the Holy Ghost and holy fire, it says, in the beginning of Luke, which is Luke 3:16 to Matthew 3:11. But it says in Acts 5:32 that the Holy Ghost is that God gives the Holy Ghost to them that obey him. So I noticed that there's a correlation between that and the promise over in the Gospel of John, chapter 14. Jesus says, this powerful promise, brother, in John 14, 13, 14, 15, and 16, Jesus speaking, the Word of God himself speaking the Word, whatsoever he shall ask in my name, that means in that blood covenant, ask the Father in Jesus' name, that will I do, that the Father may be glorified in the Son. If you ask anything in my name, I will do it. And verse 15 of John 14 says, if you love me, keep my commandments. And verse 16, and I will pray the Father, and he shall give you another comforter. And then just another verse, and then we're going to go to other callers. And it says in John 14:26, and this helps our memories. This has helped. It's more than our memory, it's God's memory. He gives us the mind of Christ, okay? John 14:26, brother, this is the solution. But the Comforter, which is the Holy Ghost, whom the Father will send in my name, he shall teach you all things and bring all things to your remembrance, whatsoever I have said unto you. So we need to keep hiding his word in our heart that we won't sin against him. And it says the Holy Ghost will bring all things to our remembrance whatsoever Jesus has said to us. So we need to hear what he's saying to us, and then he brings those things to our remembrance because it's his spirit in us because we're joined to the Lord. He's joined unto the Lord as one spirit, and that's what's so awesome. He loves you perfectly, and that perfect love casts out all fear. So just keep praising him. Thank the Father for sending Jesus. Thank the Father for sending the Holy Ghost in Jesus' name. Thank Jesus for baptizing you with the Holy Ghost and holy fire. Thank him for the gift of faith. Thank him for the gift of righteousness. Thank him for all the things that he's giving us in his word but because of his promise. And he's faithful who promised. I love you, but Jesus loves you a whole bunch more. God bless you, brother.
Call us back Friday.
When Friday?
Same time, okay. Friday night.
What does it take to come to visit your church?
Oh, well, you just come. On Sunday?
Yes.
At 12:30.
Is there motels or hotels nearby?
You'll be in a hotel called Best Western. You can find the instructions on patholiday.com.
Okay.
To the hotel, and we're there on Sunday at 12:30. So you just come and visit us when you can.
Thank you very much.
Okay, call us back Friday now, because they overcome by the blood of the Lamb and the word of their testimony. And you let the Bible play over you at night
and
fast and pray and speak the name of Jesus to everything. And call us back Friday night, okay?
Okay, we'll do that. Thank you very much. God bless you. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye. God is good. Thank you, Brother Marshall. We're going to go to this telephone number. Working real slow, but we'll get them up sooner or later. There it is, 661, you're on the air.
Hi, Pat. This is Guadalupe calling for a prayer for my daughter, Bernice, and me and my family.
Yes.
I called you last Wednesday. You guys did a beautiful prayer for me and my family.
That's good. That's working.
On Thursday, I stepped out of my house around 8 or 9. And then all of a sudden I heard like an owl, yelling, like really bad yelling. And I wanted to turn around, but I don't want to see it. So it was just yelling and yelling and yelling, and I didn't pay attention, and it went away. So I was like, you know, I'm thinking, well, that's not good. But, you know, I said to myself, well, if they're trying to scare me, it's not going to work. So I just never mind it, and I just keep praying, and that's all I do. So, you know.
Brother Marshall. Brother Marshall, minister to her.
Thank you. Thank you, Father, for Guadalupe and her daughter Bernice and the whole family. We thank you so much, Lord, for your perfect love that does cast out all fear. We thank you, Lord Jesus, that you'll never leave Guadalupe and her family. You'll never forsake them, Lord. We thank you for your promises that are always yes and amen. We thank you, Most High God, for sending Jesus to lay down his life, his blood. He had power to lay it down and power to take it up again. We thank you that Guadalupe is a member of the body of Christ. And you said the seed of the righteous shall be delivered. Over in Proverbs 11:21. And we thank you, Lord, that you made Guadalupe the righteousness of God in Christ Jesus, as it is written in your word, because you made him, the Lord Jesus, who knew no sin, to be sin for us, that we might be made the righteousness of God in him. And you said, to as many as received him, to them gave he power to become the sons, the children of God, to them that believe on his name. And Guadalupe has received the Lord Jesus, and she believes on that name, the name of the Lord Jesus, the name above all names. And Jesus said, before Abraham was, I am. And Jesus is the very expression, the visible expression of the invisible God. And we thank you, Lord Jesus, for coming to express the love of the Father, our Heavenly Father, not only for Guadalupe, but for her daughter Bernice. And the Lord says, this is my covenant with them. The spirit that I put upon you and the words that I put in your mouth, Guadalupe, will not depart out of your mouth, nor out of the mouth of your seed, and that includes Bernice, nor out of the mouth of your seed, and all of your grandchildren, from henceforth and forevermore, even to 1,000 generations, because he's faithful who promised. He said he will never leave you nor forsake you, so that we may boldly say, the Lord is my helper. I will not fear what man shall do unto me. Amen. So we thank you, Lord, that you are Guadalupe's protection. We thank you, Lord, for your blood as a wall of fire round about Guadalupe and her whole family. And we bind every witchcraft spirit. We cancel their assignments. We return them at least sevenfold with continual repetitions unless they repent in the time frame the Lord Jesus Christ of Nazareth gives them to repent in Jesus' name. Otherwise, they're all canceled, severed, and nullified whether they repent or not in Jesus' name. For Jesus took Guadalupe's cup of cursing, and she's receiving his cup of blessing as she is drinking into one spirit with the Lord Jesus. She's a partaker of the divine nature. She is a member of the body of Christ. And we thank you, Lord, for that spirit of adoption, Father God, that we cry, Abba, Father, fully deliver Guadalupe and her daughter, Bernice, and every member of the family in Jesus' name. We thank you, Father, you're faithful who promised. You said in your word in Acts 16:31, believe in the Lord Jesus and you'll be sozo and your household. And Rahab the harlot believed, and she was delivered and all of her house. She kept her eyes on that red rope coming out of her window. And we keep our eyes on that red rope, the blood of Jesus that goes to the third heaven. And Jesus, you're there, ever living, to make intercession for us. For Christ, our Passover, is sacrificed for Guadalupe and her family, as well as each member of the body of Christ that's listening, in Jesus' name. And we thank you for family deliverance. It's an absolute guarantee in your word. We don't know the time frame, but we have need of patience that we will inherit the promises. And we bind every hindering spirit. We bind every spirit sent to steal, kill, and destroy, coming against not only Bernice, but her family, coming against Guadalupe and her daughter and every member of the family, every spirit sent on assignment to steal, kill, and destroy. Your demonic assignments are null and void. In Jesus' name, we command every ungodly spirit immediately. Bind Beelzebub, bind every underling in Jesus' name. Command them all to go into individual cages. Separate and divide, separate and divide, separate and divide into individual cages. Put gags in every one of your mouths and bind you with supernatural fetters and supernatural chains, for whatever you bind on earth is bound in heaven in Jesus' name. And we loose, Father, we ask you to send the Holy Ghost to bring conviction to Bernice and to every member of the family if they need it, Father, and send the Holy Ghost to draw them afresh to the Lord Jesus. Send the Holy Ghost, Father, to draw them, because no man comes to the Lord Jesus save you draw them, Father, in Jesus' name. We ask you to send the proper labors, because you told us to pray the Lord of the harvest to send out labors into his harvest. Whether it's Guadalupe, send her. If it's somebody else, send whoever the one or the ones that you want, Lord, the right way of reaching Bernice, Lord, that she can hear your word. Visit her by dreams and visions. Send the Holy Spirit to bring conviction, to visit her and reveal if she's going in the wrong direction, Most High God, and draw her and all of our family members, but Bernice in particular, to the Lord Jesus afresh. And as we're seated in Christ Jesus in the heavenlies, we bind Beelzebub, we bind every ungodly spirit, every spirit of doubt and unbelief in the Lord Jesus Christ, every spirit of lust of the flesh, lust of the eye, pride of life. We bind all ungodly spirits, and we cancel their assignments to Bernice and all of our family members, including everyone related to Guadalupe in particular, in Jesus' name. And we command there be no further flow of power, communications from the demons in the heavens to the demons on earth as we're seated in Christ Jesus in the heavenlies. And in your presence, Father, is fullness of joy, and the joy of the Lord is our strength. And we thank you, Father, for your promises that are always yes and amen in Christ Jesus. And Guadalupe is in Christ Jesus. And we thank you for that anointing that abideth. Thank you for the anointing that abideth. We need not have any man to teach us, but as that same anointing is truth and is no lie, even as it hath taught us, we shall abide in him, like it says in 1 John 2:27. So we thank you for sending the Holy Ghost to teach and instruct Guadalupe. We thank you for increasing her faith and confidence in your word, in your promises that are always yes and amen in Christ Jesus. And we thank you, Lord, for your faithfulness. There are many, many examples in the scripture. In Acts 16, it says that Lydia, the seller of purple, believed, and all of her household were baptized. It says in John 4 that the nobleman believed, and his whole household were saved. We thank you, Father God, that the centurion that sent to Peter to come to his house, that he believed in his whole household, and the Holy Ghost was poured forth on the whole household. We thank you that household deliverance is not a rarity. It's the norm, Father. We thank you that Noah believed and his whole household was saved, Father God. We thank you, Father God. And he was the last one to enter into that ark. We thank you for your covenant, Father, that we do overcome the accuser of the brethren by the blood of the Lamb, the word of our testimony, and we love Jesus much more than our natural life. And we give you praise and honor and glory, Father. We don't rejoice that the ungodly spirits are subject unto us, but they are. But we rejoice that our names are written in heaven. And we thank you for your faithfulness, even as you promise us in that last verse of Isaiah 59. Thank you for putting your covenant in Guadalupe's mouth, Father God, in Jesus' name. We thank you for inspiring her by your Spirit. I ask you, Father, to send the Holy Ghost to make the Word of God more and more real day by day, moment by moment, to Guadalupe and to each one of her family members. The power of your Word, the power of your Word, which is quick and powerful and sharper than any two-edged sword. We thank you for not only circumcising Guadalupe's heart, but her daughter's heart, because you promised to do that, Lord, in your word over in Deuteronomy 30, verse 6. And we thank you for your word that's forever settled in heaven, Father. You promised to circumcise our hearts and the hearts of our seed in Deuteronomy 30, verse 6. And that includes Bernice. And we thank you for doing that, that circumcision that's done without the hands of man. We thank you for the Holy Ghost that comes in and says, I'd rather follow Jesus than Satan. It's much better for me. I think I'm going to go do that. We thank you, Father, that you even got a hold of the wayward son, the prodigal son, and you brought him back, and he repented to his father, and he was welcomed in, and he was given that robe of righteousness. We thank you for the gift of righteousness, Lord, that delivers us from the wiles of the enemy. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen.
Amen. And you know what? The Lord said, if two of you on earth agree as touching anything you ask, it shall be done for them. My Father, which is in heaven, Guadalupe, I'm thinking we're in agreement. Amen?
Amen.
So you just keep thanking the Father and praising him, because he does inhabit the praises of his people. And you don't go by what you see, and you don't go by what you hear, whether it's owls or any other little things. You go by what's written, and Jesus says, I will never leave you nor forsake you. He has good plans for your peace, and not for evil. And he says over in Isaiah, I think it's 54:13, he says, all of my children shall be taught of the Lord, and great shall be the peace of my children. And you're one of his children, and your daughter is also one of his children, because he promises it, and it's coming to pass. When, I don't know, but you just keep thanking him. Amen?
Amen.
Amen.
Well, thank you so much for praying for me, Marshall, Pat, and Sabrina. Thank you so much.
You're welcome. And we'll, you know, we need to pray one for another, you know, that we'll be delivered. But deliverance is, you know, deliverance and healing is the children's bread. I love the promise in Mark 7, I think it's around verse 27, you know, when that Syrophoenician woman came to Jesus and she wanted her daughter delivered. This one I think about too. Because I have two daughters also, and I understand a little bit about where you're coming from, and their work's in progress. I'm a work in progress. The Lord's not done with me yet. You know, I need to walk in love at all times that His faith works. You know, it says that over in Galatians 5 verse 6 that our faith worketh by love. And I just heard a powerful testimony a couple of days ago, just powerful testimony from a man who heard a testimony from a man who grew up as a Muslim. He became an imam or whatever, you know, a teacher of the Quran. He had memorized the Quran by the time he was 12. He was really indoctrinated. But a woman, a Christian woman, had nursed him when he was little, had helped him because he was dying. She broke the curses on his life, and 30 something years later he looked for that woman who prayed for him when he was an infant, 30 years later or 35 or whatever it was, and he renounced the Quran and renounced Islam and turned to the true God, you know, to Jesus Christ, who is the Son of God, because the Quran says God has no son, but that's a lie, because Jesus is the Son of God. And if we don't believe Jesus is the Son of God, then we're going to go in a very nasty place.
Yeah.
But it was a powerful, powerful testimony about people that prayed for this man and many people, and there was a Coptic, this is in Egypt, I think, it was a Coptic Christian, that this boy would hurl insults at him when he walked by. Every day he walked by this boy's house, and he would throw stones at him. And one day he hit this guy with a stone, I think in the head, and he was injured. He had to go get stitches, and he came back, and this boy found him. He didn't press charges. He didn't complain. He walked in love. But one day that boy came back, and he found that Coptic priest talking to his father. And the boy, he was like 12 or something, got absolutely furious with his father. Why did you let that man in our house? In my house, he said to his father. And the father said, no, son, this is my house. Which was, you know, an interesting little insight from that. But the father was a Muslim and an imam himself or whatever. But that priest just gave him a hug and just loved him. He just walked in love with that boy, even when that boy was nasty to him and even cut him with a rock and just spoke vile things to him, because it was just the spirits in that boy. And eventually that boy turned to Jesus. So, it, you know, the love covers a multitude of sins. And there's a lot of sin out there in the world, and I've entertained a lot of it myself. But the love of God, that's where it's at. And it's only shed abroad in our hearts by the Holy Ghost is given unto us. And that says that over in Romans 5:5. It's powerful. If we ask God for his supernatural love to work through us, he'll give it to us. Ask and you shall receive. Because that's why he sent the Holy Ghost, not only to remind us of what Jesus said and all those things and bring conviction and draw us to Jesus, but he sent the Holy Ghost so we could live the Christian life. Because apart from the Spirit in us, we can't do it. I said, I can. Maybe you can, but I have not had any success before I asked for the Holy Spirit. So I'm so grateful that he sent the Holy Spirit to comfort us and guide us and teach us. And I don't know why I'm not hearing Pat, but hopefully she's coming back soon. But I wanted to share that with you because it was a powerful testimony about how love overcame the wiles of that enemy. But it did take some time, and it took prayers from people. I'm sure several people prayed for that young man, but now he's living in this country apparently and giving his testimony to the honor and glory of the Lord Jesus. So praise the Lord.
Hello.
Hi, this is Marshall. Who's this?
This is Cassia.
Hi, Cassia.
Hi. I wanted to call and give thanks for your time. I read the scriptures that I was given on Friday, and I really learned a lot. My favorite was, I think, Hebrews 13:6. It says, the Lord will not forsake me, and what can man do unto me? It spoke a lot to me, and
yes,
God
amen.
Bless your ministry. I want to give God thanks. Today is my birthday. He's added another year to my life, and I want to give him glory.
Praise the Lord. Amen.
Amen.
Amen. You know, he's been nurturing you for years, and he's growing you up into a fine young woman, right?
Yes.
And he is. You know, you have a heavenly father who loves you perfectly. Maybe your natural father didn't, or maybe he did. I don't know. I'm not here to accuse your natural father, but I don't think anybody can love like our heavenly father.
Yes. I was speaking about this topic to someone yesterday. I'm at work, and I have a client that I live in with, and there are some workers where I'm at, and I was talking about this subject with her. That Jesus was ministering somewhere, and they told him that his mother and brothers wanted to speak to him. And he asked, like, who's my mother and my brethren? And he pointed to his disciples and said, this is my mother and my father and my brethren, for whosoever doeth the will of the Father is, you know, his mother and brethren. And,
yeah.
And,
that's true.
Yeah. So I was telling this person that, you know, the Bible said, cursed be the man that put his trust in man, and that maketh flesh his arm, which I don't understand, and that whose heart departed from the Lord. And, you know, when I was telling her all these things, I didn't even read my Bible that day. So I took that very seriously. You know, when we depart from God, we get cursed. So I immediately ran and read all the scriptures that you guys gave me. And I want to give you guys thanks for your encouragement and for helping me to grow in the Lord. And please continue to keep me in your prayers. Amen.
Amen. And we appreciate you continuing to keep Dr. Holliday and Dr. Sabrina and Blog Talk Radio and all of us in your prayers and all our family members. Because, you know, it says, confess your faults one to another and pray one for another. You may be healed over in James. And that's what we need to do, because we're all just gorgeous hunks of dust, and we're working out our salvation daily with fear and trembling, not fear of the enemy, a holy reverence for God, for the true and living God. Because, you know, he's just and holy, and he doesn't like it when Marshall, you know, gets into things that don't please him. And the enemy's out there trying to trip us up one way or another. But fortunately, Jesus will never leave us nor forsake us, so that we may boldly say, the Lord is my helper, I will not fear what man shall do unto me. And it is awesome. It is awesome that he gives his good spirit to be with us. And so we pray one for another. We pray for Kasia, Father God, and she prays for all of us. We pray for Dr. Holliday and Dr. Sabrina and all of our extended family members, Father God, all of our close family members, and all those that have anything to do with the Blog Talk Radio broadcast and Miracle Internet Church, and Brother Bill and all everyone involved, Father. We ask you, and all those that have been calling in for prayer, Father God, even this evening, Guadalupe and his family, and Sherry and Nicole, and anyone who's called in the past, we ask you, Father, to send the Holy Ghost in Jesus' name to lead us all into your perfect truth, into your narrow way, exactly the way you want, that we will walk in love, that we will walk in the Spirit at all times, Father God, and that the love of God will truly be shed abroad from our hearts by the Holy Ghost who's given unto us. We ask for that love afresh, not only for others, Father, but especially for the Godhead, each member of the Godhead, for you, Father God, for the Lord Jesus, for the Holy Spirit, and especially even for ourselves, to love ourselves in a godly way. Because Jesus said, no man, you didn't choose me, I chose you and ordained you that you should go and bring forth fruit. We didn't choose Jesus, he chose each one of us, Lord. He chose us, and we thank you for choosing us, Father. We thank you that Jesus chose us, and you chose us, Father, and you show your perfect love. So we ask for the Holy Ghost that he will come and manifest the love of God, God who is love, shed abroad in our hearts because of your perfect love for each one of us in Jesus' name. And we thank you for hearing our prayers because Jesus said, whatever you ask the Father in my name over in John 16, he will give it you. Ask and you shall receive. And if two of you on earth agrees touching anything you ask, it shall be done for them, my Father which is in heaven. Amen?
Amen. And amen. I wanted to add something on my heart that I wanted to ask. I'm taking care of a lady. You know, she's a nice lady, and I hear a lot of good things about her, but she's like an atheist, you know, and she's on end of life, you know, and I don't know, like, what to do, you know. Sometimes I know we have to share the gospel, but we have to know how to, like, start and...
Yes. Yeah. Well, okay. So, Father... Not only for Kasia, and I ask specifically for, and I don't, are you willing to share this lady's first name? Is that all right?
Yes, Adele.
Adele. Father, we come boldly and joyfully before your throne of grace with our big brother Jesus, for Christ our Passover is sacrificed for us. And Jesus said, if two of you on earth agree touching anything you ask, it shall be done for them, my Father which is in heaven. Father, we ask for wisdom for Kasia, particularly how to approach Adele about her relationship with the true and living God, the Lord Jesus Christ, who came in the flesh to show the love of God to her, that, Father, you will show her how to approach her, how to allow your love to flow through her in a meaningful way, Father God, in Jesus' name. We ask for your wisdom, and not only for Kasia, but for each one of us, that we will know how to share the good news of your gospel with those that you want, the way you want, in Jesus' name. Because you said in your word, if any man, if any person lacks wisdom, let him ask of God, who giveth to all men liberally and abradeth not, and it will be given him. So we ask for your wisdom in Jesus' name. And we ask you, Father, to give her the right words, because we know that your word never returns void. And we know that you said God so loved the world, all mankind, that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish but have everlasting life. Thank you, Father, for giving your Son He was most precious to you, not only to Cassia and to me and Dr. Holliday and Dr. Sabrina, and to each one of us, Lord, to Sherry and Nicole and each one, all those that have called in. We thank you for giving your son, Father, but we ask, Father, that for that wisdom, because Jesus has made unto us wisdom and righteousness and sanctification and redemption, like it says in your word in 1 Corinthians, I believe it is. Father, we ask for that wisdom, Father God, to know, for Cassia in particular, but each one of us to know how to share the gospel with those you put across our path, because you told us to be ready always to give a reason for the hope that is in us. So give Cassia the right words at the right time in Jesus' name. Help her to speak forth your words, even as apples of gold and pitchers of silver, because she's your chosen vessel, Lord. And we thank you for pouring yourself into her, Lord Jesus. You said, I must water poured forth over in Psalm, I think it's 22:14. And you turned that water of purification into the wine of the wedding feast. You gave her your very soul, your life. And you were dwelling in Cassia now, Christ in her, the hope of glory. And it's your glory. Your glory as a shield, as a protection. And we thank you for that glory. We plead that blood, the blood of Jesus over Cassia, over her mind and her heart continually. We thank you for that blood as a wall of fire round about and the glory in the midst. And we bind every spirit of doubt and unbelief in Adele and everyone else that the Lord puts across our paths, every spirit of doubt and unbelief in the Lord Jesus Christ, we bind you, we cancel your assignments in Jesus' name. And every bewitching spirit from the second heavens is receded in Christ Jesus in the third heavens. We cancel your assignments to flow to Adele and all those the Lord's putting across each one of our paths in Jesus' name. And Father, we ask you to draw Adele to the Lord Jesus afresh by your Holy Spirit. And we ask you, because no one comes to the Lord Jesus save you, draw them. We ask you to draw Adele, Father, in Jesus' name. We ask you to send the proper labor to Adele, whether it's Cassia or if it's somebody else, send the proper labor to her in Jesus' name. And we ask you to give her that hunger and the thirst for righteousness that she might be filled, Father. Because you can lead a horse to water, like it says, but you can't make them drink. But Jesus is, he is the most refreshing water that's out there. And whosoever will can receive that water of life, Father. We ask you to give her a thirst for that water of life, Father, afresh. And we cancel all assignments, intellectualism, humanism, pride, and rebellion. And we bind every ungodly spirit, Beelzebub, and every underling coming against Adele. And we cancel your assignments in Jesus' name as receded in Christ Jesus in the heavenlies, in Jesus' name. Amen. And we're in agreement. Amen?
Amen.
Amen. Amen. Amen. He knows what he's doing, but he just wants somebody down here to intercede, just like Moses interceded for the Israelites. And he's teaching us, because he wants us to be kings and priests for him, like it says. Those first couple of verses, it's I think it's in Revelation 1, starting at verse 5. How does that go, Lord? I guess I can turn to it. How Jesus loved us, and he washed us from our sins in his own blood. I'm going to turn and see what it actually says here. And from Jesus Christ, who is the faithful witness, because Jesus is a witness and so are you, right? And because you're part of his body. And from Jesus Christ, who is the faithful witness and the first begotten of the dead and the prince of the kings of the earth, unto him that loved us and washed us from our sins in his own blood and hath made us kings and priests unto God and his Father, to him be glory and dominion forever and ever. In Jesus' name, amen. Thank you, Lord. So the God of hope continue to fill you with all joy and peace in believing, that you may abound in hope by the power of the Holy Ghost.
Amen. God bless you. Hello?
God bless you.
God bless you.
Yeah.
Thank you so much. And I just wanted to say a little thing also. I believe every believer should, you know, maybe show the love of Christ more.
But he does it through us, you know. We just have to yield. That the Christian life is one of yielding day by day, and I'm learning too. So it doesn't happen. Love you, Cassia. We thank you, Heavenly Father, for every good and every perfect gift that cometh down from above, from you, Father of lights, with whom is no variableness nor shadow of turning. We give you praise, Father. Thank you for the perfect gift of the Lord Jesus Christ of Nazareth. Thank you for the gift of faith. For by grace are you saved through faith, and that not of yourselves. It is the gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. We thank you, Lord, for the gift of righteousness, the abundance of grace and the gift of righteousness, that we shall reign in life by one Christ Jesus, like it says over in Romans 5:17. We thank you also for rendering unto man your righteousness, like you say in Job 33:26. We thank you, Jesus, for loving us and washing us from our sins in your own blood. And we thank you, Father, that when we confess our sins, we know you're faithful and just to forgive us our sins and cleanse us from all unrighteousness. And we thank you, Jesus, that we're clean by the word you've spoken unto us. We thank you for that your word, washing us in the water of your word, washing us in your own blood. Thank you for sending the Holy Ghost. We thank you, Jesus, for baptizing us with the Holy Ghost and holy fire. We thank you for your mercies and your compassions that are new every day, Lord. And we give you praise and honor and glory, Lord Jesus. We thank you and love you and praise you and bless you, Heavenly Father. We thank you and love you and praise you and bless you and worship you, Heavenly Father. We worship you, Lord Jesus, and praise you. We thank you for the gift of the Holy Ghost. We thank you, Jesus, for baptizing us with the Holy Ghost and holy fire. Because Jesus said, whatever you ask in my name, that will I do. That the Father may be glorified in the Son. If you ask anything in my name, I will do it. Father, we ask that you restore this call. We bind every spirit of boys in Jesus' name. Hello.
Hello.
Hi, this is Marshall. Yeah. Who's this?
This is Cassia.
Oh, you're still there, Cassia. Hi.
Yes, I am.
I don't know what's going on with that last bit of the call this evening. But we bind every spirit hindering the word of God going forth. We bind every ungodly spirit interfering with the computers and every connection in Jesus' name. We bind every spirit of voice and every ungodly spirit trying to interfere with the word of God. Command them all go into individual cages and lock them in with the key of David and put gags in their mouths in Jesus' name. Amen. So, Cassia, did you have something else to share?
Yeah, I just thought that we as believers should think about the souls of people, because it says that it's not the will of God that any should perish, you know. And
that's
even
right.
When the evil man turned from his ways, you know, the Lord will receive him. And, you know, sometimes you see so many people who are, like, lost, and it's kind of sad. And with most of them, it's like they don't have the right direction, and they're in, like, false ministries and stuff, and it's kind of sad, you know, sometimes. And I think there's more that we should be doing, you know. We shouldn't just be listening to the Word of God and always, you know, seeking, asking for prayer just for ourselves. And, you know, we should bear fruit, you know, and, you know, try to be the light of the world, you know, just as it says in the Word. So I just wanted to say it, you know, the program also.
Well, how about if you join with me and we'll pray for all those that have been misled. There are some that aren't in any kind of a ministry. They think they're okay serving the devil full time, and then there are other that are in false ministries, and there are other that are in false religions. And so there's a lot of work to be done, but the zeal of the Lord of hosts will perform it. Now, he's very zealous, and I think he's giving you that compassion for the lost, because Jesus is about the most compassionate. Well, he was. And he had great compassion. He was crying for Lazarus, but he knew that that had to happen because he had to manifest, you know, the glory of the Father. But Lazarus had to die so that he could be resurrected from the dead, so that others could believe on Jesus, you know. So he has to perform miracles, but people have to go through something before the miracle can be performed, like Lazarus did. So let's pray for those that are lost, all right?
Okay.
Okay. Father, Cassia and I and anyone else who's listening that are members of the body of Christ, come boldly before your throne of grace because of the blood of the covenant. We thank you that Christ our Passover is sacrificed for us. We thank you that he ever lives to make intercession for us. We thank you that he's at your right hand making intercession right now, for now is the day of salvation. And we know, just as Cassia said, that it's not your will that any should perish, but all should come to repentance, Lord. And God will have all men to be saved, actually to be sozo, to be saved, healed, delivered, preserved, and made whole. That's your will. You said that in 1 Timothy 2, including verse 4. And we thank you for your word that's forever settled in heaven. So, Father, we ask that you draw many multitudes in the valley of decision. Draw multitudes, not only those that Cassie and I come across, but all around the globe, not only in the United States, but all around this globe, Father God. Draw them to the Lord Jesus Christ, Father God. Draw them, Father God, because when it gets dark outside, that those that you've called to be lights of the world, they need to start shining. We ask that you let your light shine through us the way you want. We know that Moses' face reflected your glory because he spent time with you. We know that your, who was it? It was Stephen was stoned, and his face shone like an angel, it says in the end of Acts chapter 6, Father. So we ask that your light would shine, Father God, that your glory would shine forth from each of us, and that you'll save many. We find every spirit working against the truth of the gospel going forth, and we cancel their assignment as men of old to be bound and thrust in individual cages and gagged in Jesus' name. And as we're seated in Christ Jesus in the heavenlies, we command the demons of the second heaven that no further flow of power or communication of all those who saved will be written in the Lamb's Book of Life. Father, we ask you to draw many to the Lord Jesus, Father, in Jesus' name. We ask you, Father, to draw them by the power of your Spirit. We ask you to send the perfect labor to each one. Cassie or me, Dr. Holliday, Dr. Sabrina, whoever you've chosen, Father, send the proper labor to each one, Carrie, Nicole, whoever, all of your saints, Father. God, give us your unction by your Spirit to speak what you want to those you want, Father, or to give them the tract, or give them whatever you want, or write them a note. Tell them how much Jesus loves them, Father, in Jesus' name. Thank you, Father, for your perfect love that covers the multitude of sins. Have mercy on this nation and the nations of the world, Father God, and the leaders, even those in the church that have been led astray, and deliver them and restore them to the Lord Jesus. They've been part of their body in the past. We ask you to restore them to those that have been lost, Father God. Bring them back into the fold, Father, because we know you seek the sheep that have been lost. And we thank you, Lord, for you're the good shepherd. Keep the sheep to your voice. Know them. Follow you with the voice of a stranger, they will not be. So give us all ears and hear, including those, Father, that we're praying for. That your names are written in the Lamb's Book of Life. Ask you to give them all to the Lord Jesus, that you will raise them up in the last day. Cause and I and all those who are listening and streaming in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen, Kasia.
Amen.
Amen. Praise the living God. Thank you, Father, for hearing our prayers. In Jesus' name. We give you praise, Most High God. We thank you, Father, for the spirit of adoption. We thank you for not giving us the spirit of fear, but of power and of love and of a sound mind. We thank you for giving Kasia a sound mind. We thank you for your love shed abroad in her heart by the Holy Ghost given unto her and to each one of your saints, Father. In Jesus' name, amen and amen. Love you. Jesus loves you more. He says, no greater love than any man than this. Lay down his life for his friends.